House Speaker Nancy Pelosi made this comment this morning about today's Supreme Court ruling striking down abortion rights and yesterday's decision by the High Court to overturn New York's restrictions on concealed carry permits.
Such a contradiction. Yesterday, they say the states cannot make laws governing the constitutional right to bear arms. And today, they're saying the exact reverse, that the states can overturn a constitutional right for 50 years, a constitutional right for a woman having the right to choose. The hypocrisy is raging, but the harm is endless.
Let's bring in NBC senior national political reporter Sahil Kapoor to discuss that and other major developments that happened in Washington this week. Hi there.
Hi, great to be back.
It's good to have you. Democrats predict that Republicans will pay a high price for striking down abortion rights when midterm elections happen in November. Do you think that's true?
Well, that is certainly the goal of Democrats right now, is to channel this backlash, this rage and this fury at the Supreme Court's decision toward the ballot box. The simple reason is that they don't have the votes in Congress right now to codify the right to an abortion. There is a bill written by Democrats that has passed the House of Representatives, but it is stranded in the Senate. It needs 60 votes to defeat a filibuster, and it does not have anywhere close to that. So the best Democrats can do at this moment in trying to channel the anger of voters is to encourage them to show up in the midterm elections in races for Congress and state houses and for governor, and to elect Democratic candidates who they say would protect legal abortion, and while arguing that Republican candidates up and down the ballot would vote to outlaw or criminalize abortion. Some of them have said as much already, although other Republicans are downplaying the possibility of something like a nationwide abortion ban. That's key to remember. There's a lot of talk about how the Supreme Court decision simply sends the question of legal abortion back to states. It also sends it back to Congress, which can either protect abortion nationwide or outlaw it.
I wonder if you think this ruling against abortion rights will be the lasting legacy of the Trump administration. I mean, after all, it was his three appointees to the court voting in the majority that really turned the balance on Roe v. Wade.
Without a doubt, this is one of the most significant legacies of former President Trump. He campaigned explicitly in the closing weeks of the 2016 election, saying he would pick judges if elected president who would overturn Roe versus Wade. In his words, it would happen automatically if he put two or three new justices onto the Supreme Court. Well, he did exactly that, and they did exactly that. This is something that the conservative movement has fought for decades, and they finally achieved it. And now the question is, in the political arena, will there be a different kind of reaction? The hope among Democrats is that many voters had kind of been complacent about this issue. They had taken for granted the fact that Roe versus Wade had been on the books for about half a century, that they thought it would never go away. And now the fact that it has gone away, the hope among Democrats is that it'll wake people up. They do have public polling on their side. Our NBC News poll taken last month found that 60% of Americans want abortion to be legal in all or most cases, while just 37% want it to be illegal in all or most cases. It remains to be seen whether this political benefit for Democrats actually materializes, because we are in uncharted waters here.
Well, speaking of the legacy of the Trump administration, we are in the midst of hearings about January 6th in the committee that's investigating that. Yesterday, we heard Acting Deputy General Attorney General Richard Donahue describe what Trump told him that he wanted him to do about the presidential election.
What I'm just asking you to do is just say it was corrupt and leave the rest to me and the Republican congressman.
Is it possible we will see a criminal trial for the first time of a former president?
You know, that is entirely in the hands of the Justice Department right now. Attorney General Merrick Garland has been somewhat muted on that question. He has only said broadly that the Department of Justice will pursue accountability for all individuals involved in January 6th, no matter who they are, no matter how high up in political spaces they were. But the January 6th committee knows that it is not a prosecutorial body. It is a legislative committee, and their goal is a couple of things: to tell a full and complete story of what happened on the day of January 6th, everything that led up to it. One source on the who's familiar with the committee's work described it to me as a fire that had been kindling for months and months, and they want to tell the story of who did the kindling and who lit the match. What we saw at this most recent hearing was the pressure that then-President Trump put on the Justice Department when he was still president in the closing weeks of his presidency after he had lost the election, the pressure he had put on the Justice Department to promote his lies that the election was stolen, so he could then use that to overturn the result.
Yeah.
You heard officials like Richard Donahue and others talk about how these were all conspiracy theories, that Trump was told repeatedly that there was no validity to them, and they kind of outlined his plot and the efforts of others, like another Justice Department official, Jeffrey Clark.
And we'll have to leave it there. That's Sahil Kapoor, senior national political reporter for NBC News.